didn't like this job, did you?
That sounds self-serving, but I like the people.
But the job, I understand the people.
No, I don't like the job.
You don't like the job?
No, I'm an executive branch guy. I'm not a legislative branch guy.
8 years you did it then.
Seven, soon to be eight, if I make it. To the extent men judge themselves based on what they do for a living, I don't have a lot to show for the last 7 years.
Oh, Trey Gowdy, truer words have never come out of that man's mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Fire You Can't Put Out, episode number 268, and I'm so glad that you are here. We went ahead and took last week off, sort of a moment of silence in solidarity with sexual abuse victims. I was busy, yes, it is true. But after the whole Kavanaugh confirmation, just watching that guy get by with one freaking vote, watching people chant the name of an accused rapist and so excited that this guy gets on the Supreme Court, I had to take a moment to reassess. I'm planning a show that's going to take me a couple of weeks to put together. The way these things tend to work is I have these big ideas sometimes. I can't get them all together in a week, so I sort of work on them in the background while working on the current show, and that's what I'm doing right now. So 268, 269, 270, somewhere in the next couple of shows, I will have that one out for you as both a show in response to the new Supreme Court justice and also something that recognizes and stands in solidarity with sexual abuse victims. This is something, as many of you know, or you have to know if you've listened to me for any length of time, this is something very, very, very close to my heart.
The President of the United States, the leader of the Republican Party, called you a loser.
Depending on how you judge the purpose of the Benghazi investigation, I think a lot of people would say I was a loser.
But then you endorsed him. You endorsed the man who called you a loser.
Yeah, he's the nominee, yeah.
But you were just saying we're doing this in a party political way.
Also knew a lot about the other candidate, too.
Party over country. That is the word with the United States Republican Party right now. Something interesting happened at the beginning of the year, and a lot of news outlets took notice of it right away. The Republican Party is obviously now the party of Trump, and there were about 39 or 40 or 42, somewhere in that neighborhood, GOP House members that said no. No, we're definitely not running this year. Jeff Flake was one of these senators that said, yeah, there's no effing way that I can get elected in this party. Holy crap, they want a Nazi. And the people running in Arizona right now are all very open Nazis. This is not, it's not hyperbole. This is the real thing. And so the expectation for us as progressives, for us as Democrats, was that, hey, this is going to be our year. And they've talked about it all year. The blue wave, here comes the blue wave. And everybody's just so excited about the blue freaking wave. Well, it's still possible that that's going to happen, but obviously I've expressed my doubts here on this microphone about the fact that I'm concerned that people are going to get, they're just going to relax and they're going to go, you know what? I don't even have to turn out because they've been hearing so much about the blue wave. You know, there's going to be a blue wave. I don't even have to bother. Because there's going to be so many people turning out in such force, ladies and gentlemen. We did this. We did this in 2016. And then everybody smacked themselves in the head when we elected a Nazi. So I just want to bring a couple things to you because, yeah, it's coming up. And it's coming up in the next 3 weeks. And I don't know. Am I going to have a celebration episode on this microphone? Or am I going to do another moment of silence? Couple of interesting stories for you. So, Kanye West, I'm not going to play any Kanye West audio clips. I believe that Donald Trump believed that by bringing Kanye into the White House and letting him riff, because see, Donald Trump doesn't know anything about black people. So he brings Kanye into the White House and he says, go ahead and bomb, do your thing. And Kanye says a bunch of insane stuff. I think that Trump believes that he is going to get African-Americans to vote for him by bringing Kanye in. And here's, I'm not black, but let me give you my take for somebody who's deeply steeped in hip-hop music, who's familiar with Kanye's music, who uses his music as a DJ, but also who watches what's going on with Kanye both socially and politically. The overwhelming majority of people that buy hip-hop music are white. They're not African-American. They're white. And Kanye, but there's a lot of African-Americans that make hip-hop music. So I think there's this perception that's really where it's at. And then when you listen to hip-hop music, they're constantly dropping the N-bomb. And then, of course, well, who gets to sing along with the music? Not white people. White people aren't supposed to say the N-word. So I think there's this idea that if you get the hip-hop community, or any member of the hip-hop community, even Kanye, you're going to get the black vote. African-Americans have African-American heroes. That is true. Oprah, Michelle Obama, and of course Barack Obama. They have folks that they look up to as African-Americans, things that they aspire to. And even if African-Americans enjoy Kanye's music, they're not following Kanye where Kanye goes. And this type of thing that happened at the White House was just another really embarrassing reality show moment. And it's not going to get him any African-American votes. And I, even though Trump tried to say, man, it went so well at the White House, I think privately he went, crap. Did you hear that guy? Came to the White House high as a kite, just ran off at the mouth. What are we going to do now? So Donald Trump was speaking in Lebanon, Idaho last night. By the way, I'm taping on Saturday over the weekend on the 13th. Quoting here from a Washington Post article, the headline, Trump calls on blacks to honor Republicans with votes and then praises Confederate General Robert E. Lee. This is a real headline because it is now 2018 and we live in crazy world. Quoting here, Donald Trump praised Confederate General Robert E. Lee while asking African-American voters to honor us by voting Republican at an Ohio rally that featured an unexpected and provocative monologue on America's Civil War history. Addressing an open-air rally of around 4,000 supporters, Trump appeared buoyant as he declared that Lee was a true great fighter and a great general. He also said President Abraham Lincoln once had a phobia of the Southern general, whose support of slavery has made his legacy a heavily contested and divisive issue. The comments came during an anecdote about Ohio-born President Ulysses S. Grant's alleged drinking problems. So Robert E. Lee was a great, great general, and Abraham Lincoln developed a phobia. He couldn't beat Robert E. Lee, Trump said. Robert E. Lee was winning battle after battle after battle. He just runs on at the mouth. And Abraham Lincoln came home and said, I can't beat Robert E. Lee. They said to Lincoln, you can't use him anymore. He's an alcoholic. And Lincoln said, I don't care if he's an alcoholic. Frankly, give me 6 or 7 more just like him. What the bloody hell? He also referenced astronaut Neil Armstrong, telling the crowds he's a great man that planted the flag on the face of the moon. There was no kneeling, there was no nothing, there was no games. Boom! Of course, he's talking about the African-American voters that, African-American football players that were kneeling. So he says, black people, vote for me, Robert E. Lee. Oh, by the way, stop kneeling so much. Honor me with votes. He was in Lebanon to boost the campaign of Representative Steve Chabot, the incumbent whose first congressional district encompasses the county, who had distanced himself from the president ahead of the event. He said, quoting here, we didn't ask him to come, and he wasn't my first choice or my second choice or my third choice. He said to one newspaper, apparently fearful Trump's rhetoric could prove costly in the competitive race. On the night, however, Chabot appeared content to revel in the president's support, and he said, and I quote, God bless the president. And then, of course, he went on to say, he says, I never thought I'd say this. And God bless Kanye West.
You start looking at these cabinet members, Willie, the 30-second commercial, they're going to have to be 60-second commercials or maybe 30-minute infomercials. If you combine what Mulvaney said with what's happening at the EPA, with what's happening across the entire administration, this is a corrupt administration that talked about the president, talked about draining the swamp. This administration is the swamp. You can't find in recent American political history another administration that has been as ethically challenged as this one.
I read a tweet that said, if somebody had told me 2 years ago that Kanye West would be wearing a MAGA hat and Taylor Swift would be endorsing the Democrats, I would have pushed you down and taken your wallet just for wasting my time. I don't know who said it, but I thought it was just fabulous. But it's true. How the hell, and by the way, Taylor Swift has stayed out of politics. My daughters all love Taylor Swift, by the way. And of course, I play her music at weddings. She stayed out of politics. And for the Michael Jordan reason. She goes, hey, Democrats buy records, Republicans buy records. I'm not going to get into this. But this year, she decided to change that. She said, nope, absolutely not. But the assumption, and this was my assumption too, allow me to be upfront about that. The assumption was that she's going to be a conservative. Because, as Milo Yiannopoulos put it, Swift is very, very white and very blonde. He said in a Breitbart article in 2016, she was born on and grew up in a Christmas tree farm in rural Pennsylvania. You heard me right, a Christmas tree farm. Little wonder that the tradition-oriented alt-right are swooning. On the hard right especially, not just the right. Now, Taylor Swift used to be country. She's pop now. I understand that the lines are becoming blurred between those two types of music. And for conservatives, they've always quietly believed that she's a conservative. But on the hard right, when you're talking about the 4chan folks, they've always believed that she is, get this, an Aryan princess, quietly doing the work for the alt-right, an Aryan princess, right? Bringing in those young girls and those more recruits, people, women that are going to have babies for them and make them more, make lots more Nazis for them. And they've always thought of her like that. And then on her Instagram, she decided to endorse two Democrats from Tennessee. And it went like this, a betrayal, quoting here, a betrayal beyond words. The alt-right just went insane. And it got better than that. Then the death threats started kicking in, right? How dare you do this to the white race, Taylor Swift? On Fox News, they, of course, were waxing. And oh, they said, my God, Taylor Swift, I wish you had never, ever done this. And then they always say, like with the Dixie Chicks, they say, shut up and sing. Shut up and sing. Don't do this, Annie. Don't tell us what you think. Of course, if you're Tim Allen, tell us what you think. Of course, if you're Kid Rock, tell us what you think. Of course, if you're Ted Nugent, tell us what you think. If you're Chuck Norris, tell us what you think. But if you don't think like we think, please don't tell us. I am a huge fan of Pantera. And I'm pretty sure all the guys in Pantera are not just conservative, but they might even have some white supremacist leanings or core beliefs. They've never expressed them openly, but there are certain things that lead me to believe that. I'm not telling them not to express their opinion, but it makes me kind of oogie to know that I enjoy their music so much. But I'm not ever going to say, don't tell me what you think. Don't speak out. Don't express your beliefs, because if they don't comport with mine, I'm going to go out in the middle of the street and I'm going to catch all your records on fire. By the way, I fully expect that's coming. The reason that they don't want you to do, they don't want these famous people to speak out for, you know, for Democrats especially, is because they know that this stuff works. There's a reason why celebrities are paid for their endorsement, because this stuff works. And when Taylor Swift decided to say that, within 24 hours, 65,000 people in the first 24 hours, 65,000 people signed up to vote, just like that. And that's why they freak out about this stuff, because they know that it works.
If you look at the history of your elections, particularly 2 years into a new administration, remember Clinton lost the House and Senate. Obama lost the House and almost lost the Senate. We know the wind's going to be in our face. We're not sure whether it's a Category 3, 4, or 5. But I'm hoping we can hold the Senate. And the principal reason for that, even if we were to lose the House and be stymied legislatively, we could still approve appointments, which is a huge part of what we do.
The Supreme Court is the most important one. But the lower courts are still very important. When you're talking about the circuit court in D.C., when you're talking about federal judgeships all over the United States, the court is very, 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 very important to them. And that's because, and I don't think that this should be, but that's because those are permanent. And because elections are cyclical. The Democrats are in charge. The Republicans are in charge. The Democrats are in charge. The Republicans are in charge. This is a way for them to be permanently in charge. And that's why they would really like to maintain the Senate. And the way things look right now is they are going to maintain the Senate. And although I'm hearing so much about this blue wave and that they're not going to keep the House, I still don't believe it. And I won't believe it until I see it. And I think they aren't certain about what's going to happen. Sure, they're getting a little confident here and there, but they're really not sure what's going to happen either. So true to really anything that they do, they're trying to find a way to control the narrative. And the best way to control the narrative is, of course, all of the propaganda outlets that they already have, such as Fox News and Breitbart and all these think tanks and the Koch network. And of course, the problem with those outlets is most people know. Most people are hip to the fact that those are conservative outlets. And that those conservative outlets are really just giving you conservative propaganda, carefully tailored talking points. So the conservatives have decided to set their sights a lot higher. Whenever somebody has a question, if someone else doesn't know the answer, almost inevitably, one or the other person will say, well, you know what? I'll just Google it. Or you know what? You should Google it. Google it? Google it. Google it. You should Google it. You should Google it. Google it. Google it. Aha. There it is. Google. Huh. So what can we do? The headline, Trump demands Facebook names. Trump has effectively developed himself an enemies list, and he really, really, really would like to control what you see.
Yeah, I think Google is really taking advantage of a lot of people, and I think that's a very serious thing, and it's a very serious charge. I think what Google and what others are doing, if you look at what's going on at Twitter, if you look at what's going on in Facebook, they better be careful because you can't do that to people. You can't do it. We have literally thousands and thousands of complaints coming in, and you just can't do that. So I think that Google and Twitter and Facebook, they're really treading on very, very troubled territory.
Thousands of complaints coming in from conservatives who do not believe that Facebook is conservative enough. Despite the fact that they sold ads to the Russians to help Hillary Clinton win, they don't see it as conservative enough. Trump wants the names of everybody on there that is anti-Trump, especially if they are active in groups that are marching in the streets. He has this idea about paid protesters. Of course, they're not. I've never been paid to protest. My God, what a job. I would take that in a heartbeat. And now Trump, because he wants to change the libel laws, and the conservatives like to change the libel laws too. They would like, so in Europe, and I've mentioned this before, they don't have freedom of speech written into their constitution. You know, they're pretty free, but journalists can still be arrested for saying the wrong thing. You can be arrested for saying the wrong thing. There's no implicit or explicit right to free speech. And so, but even with that, their country isn't going nuts, you know, locking up journalists and stuff. But Trump loves that idea. He goes, they don't have free speech. My God. And he says he loves free speech, but he also says, you know, we shouldn't have it either. And he wants to change the libel laws. And he's working on that already. He's not going to change it before the election, but if you leave the House and the Senate in the hands of these effing Nazis, they will change the laws. They will change the laws so they can start locking up and even murdering journalists, like what just happened to that Washington Post journalist inside the embassy in Turkey, you know, the Saudis. They lure this guy in, this Washington Post journalist. They don't like the things he's been saying. They interrogate him, they torture him, they killed him, and then they cut him up with a bone saw. And this is all on video. This is a real thing that happened. And they're asking Trump about it, and he goes, well, I don't know. What is that guy, even a citizen? Does it effing matter? He was brought in. He was murdered. He was chopped up. Is he even a citizen? What a dumbass question. So the headline over at HuffPo, White House drafts executive order to investigate online platform bias. The White House has drafted an executive order that would push federal antitrust and law enforcement agencies to probe the business practices of social media and other internet companies. This, according to Bloomberg and Business Insider. Quoting here, executive departments and agencies with authorities that could be used to enhance competition among online platform agencies shall, where consistent with other laws, use those authorities to promote competition and ensure that no online platform exercises market power in any way that harms consumers, including through the exercise of bias, No later than 30 days from the date of this order, agencies shall submit to the director of the National Economic Council an initial list of actions each agency could potentially take to protect competition among online platforms and address online platform bias. The White House did not immediately respond for comment. So here's the way that's going to go. Tell us what we want to hear. Tell the American people what we want them to hear, or you're going to get shut down. Because if it's not conservative, then it's clearly biased.
But it wasn't that long ago that everybody searching something in Google, just like looking something up on Wikipedia, thought that the result was nonpartisan, unbiased, and it just was what it was. It was the truth. So if you go searching for things on Wikipedia or Google and you get the results, now people, it's easy to know that Google is going to do everything it can to damage and harm conservatives and conservatism and conservative websites, internet properties, you name it.
Whenever you hear conservatives say that something is being done by progressives, what they're actually telling you is what they're about to do. When they say that there's conservative or that there's progressive bias in the media, what they really want is conservative bias. When they say there's progressive bias online, what they really want is conservative bias online, and so on and so forth. When they say that the left is trying to shut down free speech, what they're telling you is that they would really, really like to shut down free speech. It's called projecting. They're telling you what they would like to do by blaming the other side for doing it. So under Trump, things are not getting better for a lot of these red states, or a lot of these states that became red states for Trump. In Virginia, the headline, West Virginia poverty gets worse under Trump, economy not better. The Appalachian State is, quoting here, along with Delaware, just two states where poverty rose last year, bucking the national trend of growing incomes and declining hardship. According to the U.S. data released earlier this month, West Virginia's poverty rate climbed to 19.1% last year from 17.9%, making it just one of four states with a poverty rate of above 18%. Now remember, West Virginia's going to be coal country. Coal country. Coal. Trump digs coal. And they're worse off for it. They're way worse off for it. But I have no doubt in my mind that they will happily and proudly turn out to vote for this man and for his candidates.
I will not let that orange-haired orangutan, I will not let that coochie grabber, I will not let that scumbag, I will not let that liar, I will not let that psychopath, I will not let that Nazi Tribulation Trump speak ill against the members of this church or the members of any of the states and nations of Africa or Haiti or anybody else. I rebuke you in the strongest terms. I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I rebuke your mama, and I rebuke her where the sun don't shine. You ever raise your voice against the people that God has put under his care and under the power of his word. I rebuke your mama when the sun don't shine. I rebuke you and everything you stand for. I curse and bind you, you orange-haired orangutan, you low-life piece of dung yourself. You're worthy only for a major flush along with no wiping, you piece of dung.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm sorry. So that's Dr. James David Manning, also a... also a pastor. It's nice to hear somebody who believes in the Lord, who is not praising, this Nazi accused rapist, and all the rest. But the way he talked, by calling the president all these names and saying that, you know, he's a piece of crap in need of wiping and all the rest. I heard an interesting conversation happening earlier this week, and I heard it from an incredibly unlikely source. As you know, I've read many of Tom Hartman's books. I regularly listen to his show. I watch him on his television appearances. And what has always struck me about Tom Hartman is that he doesn't lose his cool. He's very matter of fact. You know, he's got a great vocabulary. He's really able to distill the points down to something that everybody can understand while being very diplomatic at the same time. But he, and I've not heard this in the 16 years or whatever that I've been a fan of his, he's hit this point where he goes, is it time? Is it time for us to get in the mud and the dirt? Is it time for us to start fighting like them since they're clearly winning? Is it time for us to start doing the name calling since it's clearly working for the other side? Is it time for us to, I suppose, lower ourselves to that? And hearing that broke my heart because I've always looked up to him because he didn't do that stuff. And I'm not losing respect because he did it. But for me, it just speaks to the cracks that are beginning to show in so many of our foundations because we're frustrated and we don't know what to do.
Don't you ever, and those of you that agree with Tribulation Trump with respect to Haiti, you will not speak. And I'm calling on every Hamite, everyone with any Haitian or Hamite blood anywhere at any time to stand up and defend. Do not let this orange-haired freak, don't let this Nazi label the people of Haiti or the people of Africa or their progenitor as dung. Don't do it. Orange had orangutan, the piece of trash, the piece of dung born of that wicked woman out there in Queens that hatched him from between her legs out there in Queens one day. Because that's what happened. He wasn't born. He was hatched with feathers on him coming out of his mama's vagina, smelling like the landfill out in Staten Island is what his mama's vagina smelled like when that freak was born. That's why he's a coochie grabber. He keeps reaching back trying to grab his mama, grab her coochie as he was hatched out of her coochie. This orange-haired orangutan, this duck, that's what they called him, Donald, his mama, when she saw them feathers on him, that's why she named him. She named him Donald because he's Donald Duck. That's what he is, and he's a coochie grabber because he kept trying to crawl back up in his mama's coochie. That's how come he's such a liar and a freak.
I understand the frustration. I truly do. And I think it's healthy for all of us to let it out. But I also want to disagree. I also want to disagree with Dr. Hartman. I don't want to go that way. I get frustrated and I call names and I say things I don't mean like anybody else. I have regrets in my language with some frequency, especially when it comes to talking about politics, the current state of affairs, the way that we treat women. I have all the same frustrations and concerns that everyone else does. But I still believe, and I still believe in what Michelle Obama said. And that is when they go low, we go high. And I believe that that's a really great idea. And that is the way that we should conduct ourselves. And that is what we should live according to. Because look, if we remain the classy ones, right? Even when they're beating the piss out of us, if we remain the classy ones, eventually people will see us for that. Realize what they're dealing with, petulant children on one side and the grown-ups on the other side. And people's minds are changing. If you ever listen to Nicole Wallace, and she worked in the Bush White House, and she might still be a conservative, but she goes, nope, this cannot happen. This is not, and she daily just hammers on this president. And Steve Schmidt, who also a conservative, used to be a Republican, just left the party a couple months ago. He says, hey, nope, no more. Absolutely not. I'm no longer with this party. And Steve Schmidt even recently came out and said, you know what? Don't vote for the Republicans. Yeah. I used to be a Republican, used to be a conservative, helped run the McCain campaign. But you know what? No, Do not vote for them. Vote for the Democrats.
This election in 2018, I think, is a referendum on Trumpism. And the American people have an opportunity to repudiate it. And repudiate it, I think they will. Fundamentally, the question on the ballot in these midterms is this. If you want to live in Trumpistan, vote for the Republicans. If you want to continue to live in America, a nation of where rule of law, decency, civility matter, your only choice is to vote for the Democrats.
And I think that if we do not continue to keep that up, we sort of fall into the ways of what the conservatives are doing, how gross they're being. We're going to lose everybody. And then everybody's just going to say, you know what? They're all crooked. F them all. And that's not going to benefit us. That's going to benefit the conservatives.
I want to give a victory speech on the evening of Election Day, which is coming up very quickly. We're not going to let people undo the incredible job that we've done. Remember, they said, you'll never get that. They've said that about everything. You'll never get that. You'll never get elected. You'll never this. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner is Donald Trump. Oh. Remember the tears? Crying. Oh.
The bar is already low for the conservatives because they've conducted themselves like this for a long time. And if we go down there with them, we're going to look worse than them. Because you don't lower yourself to your enemy. You know, you don't turn into something that you hate being to escape what you hated being before. You know, it's turning into something that you hate even more. We've got a good solid chance. People turn out. One thing broke my heart is young people. If African Americans turn out big numbers, and minorities, not just African Americans, but also Latinos, and young people turned out, women turned out. Well, not the white women. They like this guy. But if these groups, there's no way a Republican would ever win another election. And the biggest part of that is definitely the young people. The recent numbers I read are somewhere just under 17% of young people. So between the ages of 18 and 25, actually plan on voting. That voting block right there, that could flip any election. And those folks aren't, a lot of them, not all of them, but plenty of them, aren't voting. If you know anybody in that age bracket, say to them, hey, get out and vote. By the way, no matter who you're voting for, I don't care. Please just turn out. Because even if they are conservative, because they're going to vote, they'll start paying more attention. They start paying more attention, they'll start absorbing more information. And if they're already inclined to be a conservative, fine, go. But if they start paying more attention and they're reasonable-minded at all, they won't vote for Republicans, even if that's where they were initially going. So I don't care who they're voting for. Tell them to get out and vote because it needs to happen. And they have a lot of power. They could really change everything.
What grade do you give yourself so far?
So I give myself an A+. I don't think any president has ever done what I've done. I give myself an A+.
In Texas and in Florida, we get an A+. And I'll tell you what, I think we've done just as good in Puerto Rico.
I would give myself an A+. Nobody has done what right. I've been able to do. And I did it despite the fact that I have a phony cloud over my head that doesn't exist.
He has done a lot of things that he wanted to do. While the whole Kavanaugh fight was going on, the headline, under the fog of Kavanaugh, House passes $3.8 trillion more in tax cuts. More. And they're going to be raising the debt soon. You know, and they're borrowing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And they're not doing it to invest in America. They're doing it so that they can spend all the Treasury's money and then turn around to you and me and go, hey, we can't afford anything anymore. So even though you and I might say, no, he doesn't get an A+, he kind of does. Because he's getting all these horrifically awful things done. And it is we who allow him to do that. There's lots of things we can do. One thing we probably shouldn't do is talk about impeachment.
The impeach word, impeach Trump, Maxine Waters, we will impeach him. But he didn't do anything wrong. It doesn't matter. We will impeach him. If it does happen, it's your fault because you didn't go out to vote. Okay? You didn't go out to vote.
Hear the way he talks to his people? If I get impeached, it's your fault. He's mobilizing his folks. And it's time for me to mobilize you. For you to mobilize the people that you know. Don't get complacent. We don't really know where this is going to go. We don't really know what's going to happen. So tell me, ladies and gentlemen, what kind of show am I going to be doing in a few weeks? Am I going to be doing one of these, hey-ya, hey-ya? Or am I going to be doing another moment of silence? Solidarity. Never have you had more of a choice. And every single year we say, this is the most important election ever. That's the most important election ever. This is the most important election ever. They're all important. All of them. None of them more important than the other. I think when you talk like that, you really reduce how important they are. They're all super duper important. No matter what, from the dog catcher up to the president, they're all important. Get out and do it. When you go to vote, take someone with you. Man, you got a few more seats in your car.
Coming to a theater near you, coming to a school near you, coming to a sports stadium, to any public place. These ghost guns are the new wave of American gun violence.
Cody Wilson. Get to know that name, ladies and gentlemen. Cody Wilson. Who is Cody Wilson? Cody Wilson is a libertarian. Cody Wilson is somebody who believes in the full legalization of murder. Yes, I'm being hyperbolic. But when you don't like the fact that guns are made out of metal and that they can be detected and that you're unable to take them into concerts and events where world leaders are going to be, when you think that guns should become undetectable, now that we have 3D printers, this is insane to me. The internet in its early days, this is a great way to share information. So what do? We instantly find a way to start sharing bomb-making recipes and sharing porn, including child porn, around the world. We also managed to take these beautiful things, these wonderful ideas, and just dirty them up as fast as possible. 3D printers. You ever been at home and you needed just a little part or something? You know, a little part for maybe your vacuum or, you know, or something, or like a little screw or something. Then you go, huh, you know, God, I'm going to run out and I'm going to buy this 13-cent part. And it's not that expensive, but what a hassle. Well, with the 3D printers, you could just make them at home. Make them in your house. Just like that. You know, you download a schematic or just use a schematic, you know, and run it and put it in your computer. And 3D printer will just make that part for you. You don't got to run out and get it. And it's not about the money running. It's just it's the time and the effort and all the rest. Time is money, you know. And we got better things to do than run out for a 13-cent part so we can fix our washer or whatever it is. But what do? With the 3D printing technology? We instantly start finding ways to make guns. Because if there's a shortage of anything in this country, it's definitely guns.
Welcome to the age of the printed magazine.
30-year-old Cody Wilson is the face of a new gun movement.
No, gun control is not dead. It's undead. Gun control is undead.
The Obama administration took Wilson to court to stop his company from posting the instructions online, arguing it would put guns in the hands of terrorists. But Cody Wilson insisted he has a First Amendment right to publish, and the instructions were already online anyway. In June, the Trump administration dropped the court fight with Wilson.
As long as you have the right to keep and bear arms, you have the right to make them.
Fred Gutenberg's 14-year-old daughter, Jamie, was one of 17 people who died at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School last February.
This changes the safety of Americans forever if this is allowed to happen.
Plastic guns, he fears, will bring even more gun violence to a country already reeling.
Someone can walk in with a gun and you won't know it. Airplanes, you'll be flying with someone with a gun and you won't know it. Courthouses, someone with a gun and you won't know it. That's the risk.
We're in the early days of these ghost guns. And because they're made out of plastic, they tend to explode immediately. The bullet inside of them has to be metal, but everything else could be plastic, and they usually just explode and crumble in your hand. So they're usually what we refer to as one shot, one kill, which means that your shot had better be dead on. You better hit your target. But let's say that one of these things wants to be carried out in an assassination attempt of a president, any president, the current one, the next one, the previous one that's now a private citizen. One shot, one kill. And you can get these guns into a place where, and they say, it's all about freedom. Freedom, right? America, Second Amendment, founding fathers. No, it is always, always about murder. The full legalization of murder from an incredibly frightened group of conservative people.
I'm Ed Donahue. Cody Wilson, the owner of a Texas company that makes untraceable 3D printed guns, says he has started selling the blueprints through his website to anyone who wants to make one. Yesterday, a federal judge ordered Wilson to stop posting the plans online.
This judge's order stopping us from simply giving things away was only an authorization that we could sell it, that we could mail it, that we could email it, that we could provide it by secure transfer.
Wilson says sales started this morning.
So there was a ruling, and they said that you cannot give these things away. So he finds this loophole because he wants these murder plans out there no matter what. And so he finds a way, he says, and he starts selling them. 3D printers are already out there. The 3D printers they're still in their infancy, but they're a very prominent, fast moving technology. They're a real thing. Coming to a home near you, pretty certain, just like flat screen televisions, I'd say in 10 years everybody will own a 3D printer, which means everybody will have, and then the technology for these blueprints and these schematics on how to make guns, this stuff is only going to continue moving at an alarming rate because it is so important to us Americans to be able to murder people whenever we want. So here's Cody Wilson, this hero to the right, bend at the elbows, put your fists on your hips, look to the sky, you're a hero. You're a hero to the gun movement. You're a hero to the conservative movement. My God, Cody Wilson, can't nothing stop you, sir.
Well, he, I think, first of all, is a radical libertarian. He calls himself an anarchist. I think you would say he's even an extremist on these issues. He wants everyone in the world to be able to access a gun. And I think that he doesn't even draw the line as, you know, children or the mentally ill or felons. He's willing to allow even some of those people to get guns. That's not his goal, but he's certainly willing to risk that for this larger purpose of just eviscerating all gun control.
Everybody, all the time. Everybody should have a gun. School shootings, not a problem. Hospital shootings, movie theater shootings, not a problem. Shootings in sport, not a problem. Shooting, not a problem, 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 not a problem. In Washington State, we've decided to do something pretty bold. Right now, we've got something called I-1639, and it's on our ballot. And what this is this is going to begin regulating guns in a way that they should be regulated. The idea on the right, on the conservative right, especially when it comes to the NRA, is that we can't have any restrictions on guns whatsoever. Why? Because the Second Amendment is more important than everything else. Yes, the president can bring up, he can begin to implement libel laws. Yes, the conservative Congress can start implementing libel laws so that we can start limiting people's free speech because F the First Amendment.
But the Second Amendment can't be touched. It's sacrosanct.
So this is the idea. But we in Washington State have said no. Absolutely not. Quoting here, the headline, I-1639, the most ambitious effort at gun regulation in Washington State history. After his son was seriously injured in a shooting, Paul Kramer became the public face of Initiative 1639, the most ambitious gun regulation ballot measure in Washington history. So, why did he get into this? On July 30th, 2016, a teenager armed with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle seriously injured his son, Will, and killed three others in an attack at a house party in Mukilteo, Washington. Now, Kramer, 57, is the face of this 1639. If approved, Washington's firearms laws would be among the strictest in the country. This is a sprawling 30-page initiative that would beef up a broad range of gun regulations. It would boost the legal age to buy a semi-automatic rifle to 21. Those who want such a weapon would have to pass an enhanced background check, take a firearms training course, and wait 10 business days after purchase to take possession of the gun. And by the way, if the background check doesn't come back in that time, no longer does it default to give him the gun because the Second Amendment. The initiative also requires owners to keep their guns secured at home, or they would face misdemeanor or felony charges in some cases if someone prohibited from possessing a weapon got access to it. Gun rights supporters say the initiative would criminalize, right? Criminalize law-abiding firearms owners. It's the same script that they always use and make it nearly impossible for adults under 21 to protect themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonder that I ever made it to age 21 because I didn't have a gun to kill people whenever I wanted to kill them, so it's a wonder that I turned 40 next week. Wow, it's crazy. Basically, 1639 is 30 pages of poorly drafted gun regulation proposals. This, according to Lars Dahlseed, a spokesman for the NRA. They had a wish list, they put it all together, and they just threw it at you. Notice the language. They put it all together, and they just threw it at you. What do they say when we give money, we fund education? They say they're throwing money at education. What do they say when we fund housing projects? They're throwing money at housing. What do they say when we need money for the military? It's an investment in America. It's an investment in the future of freedom. But if something helps people, then you're throwing money at it. I became aware of 1639 because of all of the handmade, not printed, handmade signs in my area around my home. There are handmade signs. This was so important to people that they got out the cardboard and the whiteboard, and they made signs at home saying, don't criminalize self-defense, vote against I-1639. And I go, man, that really takes some dedication that somebody made those signs. They didn't just buy them and hung them up. They made them at home. They're kind of good, but they also look kind of crappy. They are homemade. And I go, but criminalizing self-defense, really? Somebody put a ballot saying you can't defend yourself anymore? I bet you they're just being insane. They're being hyperbolic. And I read through it. You got to be 21. You got to pass a background check. You got to keep your gun locked up. You're responsible for your gun. All of that sounds pretty sane to me. Or as the NRA would say, insane. A full criminalization of self-defense. And how dare you? It might pass too. We don't know what the polling looks like right now, but the NRA doesn't have a lot of money in this. Right now, they've got the opposition campaign has raised $173,000. $3.6 million is what the people that want to implement this, that's what they have. The $3.6 million, so way, way, way more money. So the ads for 1639 are pretty great, and they're running all over Washington right now. And this sort of spits in the face of somebody like Cody Wilson, the hero to the American right, and the gun movement and blah, blah, blah. Cody Wilson. So where is Mr. Cody Wilson right now? The headline, this is how things finished for Cody Wilson. If you haven't heard the story yet, you're probably guessing, God, did he get shot? Did he get shot with one of these plastic guns? Nah, it's a little bit worse. 3D printed gun activist Cody Wilson extradited to Houston from Taiwan. Huh? The charge follows from a 16-year-old girl who had told a counselor about a paid sexual encounter between the two. Quoting here, the U.S. Marshals have received and taken into custody of an Austin business owner at the International Airport in Houston tonight, who is charged in Travis County for an August 15th sexual assault of a juvenile female. Cody Rutledge Wilson, a known gun enthusiast in Austin and owner of Defense Distributed, which is listed as a nonprofit private defense firm, was arrested at a hotel in Taipei on September 21st by Taiwan police. Austin police obtained an arrest warrant from the 427th District in Travis County for Wilson for sexual assault after a counselor contacted the police on August 22nd and advised the authorities that a juvenile female under the age of 17 had sex with a 30-year-old male who was later identified as Wilson. He met the girl online. I'm not going to name the website because if there's pervs out there, I don't want y'all going there. But there are sites where young girls can sign up to meet to have sex with older men because they say that the kids want it gross and the adults want it gross. This isn't going to end badly. And this is the way the ballad of Cody Wilson ends. Cody Wilson is now going to prison for being a gross pedophile. But that's not going to stop him from being a hero to the conservative right. They still look up to him. And why wouldn't they? They have a soft spot for pedophiles, like Judge Roy Moore. They've got a soft spot for men who take advantage of women, like President Donald Trump, and like Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. They've got a soft spot, but they don't care. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. If white men cared about women, Donald Trump would not be president right now. Do you remember when we were having the bathroom wars a little while ago? They can't let these men who became women into the bathroom because my little girls is going to be assaulted if they let these men that are now women into the bathroom. And they're so afraid that their little girls are going to be assaulted by the men that are now women. Which is pretty insane to me, because what we've learned over the last number of weeks especially is that when the girls tell you that they've been assaulted, it is your inclination, if the person that assaulted them is a conservative, your first inclination is to not believe them. So a while ago, you were so concerned they were going to be assaulted, and now you're at this place where you don't even believe them when it happens. And it's weird to me, the American right, because they're unfortunately gross. There is a soft spot. There is a soft spot for men who commit sexual indecencies, sexual assault, rape, pedophilia. All of it's okay as long as it's carried out by a conservative. Why? Because, well, what they believe in is way more important. President Trump. Because he's going to put conservatives on the Supreme Court, so the fact that he sexually assaulted and raped women and forced themselves, we don't care because they want the courts. Cody Wilson, we don't care if he had sex with a teenage girl because he's for guns and freedom. We don't care. Roy Moore, full-on pedophile. Bloody hell. But they don't care because he's going to bring this deep Christian conservatism to the United States Senate. They don't care. And Brett Kavanaugh. And what they say is this happened a long, long, long time ago. And why didn't she say anything back then? And how dare she try to ruin this man's life after he tried to rape her? It's crazy. It's crazy to me that they've got a soft spot for these folks. And you know where I'm at on this. I hurt. And I hurt a lot. Because I don't particularly care for this stuff at all.
And what I will say is that the NRA sort of has a lock on Congress right now, so much so that members of Congress are dramatically out of step with the American public. The thing that's so unusual about this is the NRA supported background record checks for a long time, and their members still support background record checks, but the NRA has slowly become an organization that marches to the beat of gun manufacturers, not its members. And gun manufacturers, their idea is sell whenever, wherever, and whatever quantity to whomever. And that's what the NRA does, but Congress needn't be enthralled to that. We need to take these steps that will not eliminate gun violence. That's beyond our power to do, but we know there are steps that will dramatically reduce the risk of these horrible tragedies like the tragedy yesterday in Parkland.
It was never about protecting your little girls. It was about hating gay people and using your little girls as an excuse for you to hate on gay people. It was never about protection. It was always about the full and unquestioned legalization of murder because you're a frightened bunch of people. This is the way it is, but this is not the way that it needs to be. It can change. Millennials, I'm talking to you. Millennials are changing everything right now. When they're changing everything, well, some of the change is uncomfortable. Some of it's not so much. I remember hearing when I first got married that the divorce rate was 50-50. You got a 1 in 2 chance that your marriage is going to make it for any considerable length of time. But something has happened. The headline. Millennials are causing the divorce rate in the U.S. to plummet. I'm quoting here from Bloomberg. New data show younger couples are approaching relationships very differently from baby boomers who are married, young, divorced, remarried, and so on. Generation X and especially millennials are being pickier about who they marry, tying the knot at older ages. I'm Generation X. when education, careers, and finances are on track. The U.S. is has a divorce rate that has slipped 18% from 2008 to 2016, according to an analysis by the University of Maryland sociology professor Philip Cohen. I work at weddings all the time. And let me say this. The old idea about weddings was you had to have a wedding like this. You're in a church and then you have a reception here. You had to do it religiously. Women, you had to be given away by your fathers. By the way, a lot of that still happens. This is the type of music that's going to be played there. This is what you have to wear. When we think of weddings, we think of dun, 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 dun. And then we think of the white dress. And we think of him. And right now, millennials are doing what they want when they want. They say they want to get married. They want to get married in a barn. Fine. They want to get married on a beach. Fine. They want to walk down the aisle to Metallica. Fine. By the way, all of this has happened for me. They want to walk down the aisle to Rihanna. Fine. They want to walk down the aisle to Jay-Z. Fine. Whatever they want, that's what they're doing. And it's working out better for them. They're not feeling like they have to get married right out of high school or right out of college. They marry when they find somebody that they love, and then they go forward with what their heart wants. And it's caused the divorce rate to drop. Now, wait a minute. The old way had a 50-50 chance that your marriage wasn't going to make it. The divorce rate so far has dropped 18%. Why? Because of honest freedom. Not tradition, not telling people what they have to do, but because of giving them honest freedom and letting them make the decisions that they want to make and letting them do things the way that they want to do things and not sticking to tradition. That's a good, positive change. Now, millennials, I'm still looking at you. You're the folks. A lot of my generation's already turning out. Older people are turning out. Cody Wilson's people are turning out. Roy Moore's people are turning out. Kavanaugh's people are turning out. Trump's people are turning out. Yo, millennials, I'm talking to you. You hold a lot of power in your hands. You've already made big changes. Some of those big changes, very positive. We like that. We have an event in 3 weeks. You could call it an election because that's what it is. And the numbers show that your folks aren't turning out. Now, understand, bro, I don't really pay attention to politics, so I don't really feel like... Stop. If you live in America, you're affected by what our politicians do. That's it. If you live here, you're affected. Their decisions affect you. You have a chance to make a change. You have a chance to vote these scumbags out. The Nazis and the rapists, and you got it. You have a chance. We can't do it alone. The political junkies like myself, we can't do it alone. We need everybody. We need women, especially non-white women. We need African-Americans, Latinos. We need millennials. If you're really sick of what's happening, don't get complacent. Don't think, oh, well, everyone else is already turning out, so my vote's not going to make a difference. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. And I don't care how you're voting. Turn out. Turn out. Help us change history. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on the Fiery Camp. Our official home is tfycpo.podbean.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/tfycpo. You can listen on the go. Just download the Podbean app at the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store for Android users. Individual episodes are available for download at the iTunes Store on Podbean. Just search for the Fire You Can't Put Out so you can also subscribe. You never miss an episode. Questions, comments, hate mail. Hey, you know how to reach me. tfycpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail, rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and thank you for listening. This is Melvin signing off. Now that I've woken you up, good morning.